Your sensors are correct. Do not adjust your heading. You've discovered the Omega Particle, streaming to the Alpha Quadrant and beyond. Here's your host, the anchorman of the Federation, the Doctor of Dilithium. This is Jonathan Wiegand.
Welcome to the Omega Particle Podcast. Like the man said, I am your doctor of dilithium, Jonathan Wiegand, with half my brain tied behind my back just to make it fair. We are streaming across the Alpha Quadrant today, and I'm so happy you joined us. As a Trek fan, I usually have a sequence of how I watch my Star Trek shows. This order I have, and I've been following it, I don't know, since about 10, 12 years now. And it just doesn't seem like I'm ever going to change it. It's TNG, DS9, Voyager, and then Enterprise in that order. And I just rinse and repeat. Usually I have it on the background while I'm doing chores, just something to have on the TV, trying to fall asleep. I know I'm not the only person that does this. These are my comfort shows, hence the name comfort shows. But one night my wife was sitting next to me, and she noticed that The Rock was beating up Seven of Nine. She's like, wait a minute, The Rock is in Star Trek? When the F did that happen? I was like, I need to do an episode, maybe even two-part episode, on just the most random celebrity people of influence cameos on Star Trek. And alas, here we are. And I know a lot of you in the comment sections or on Instagram, you have suggested episodes like these, like the top five or top 10. We're giving the people what you want. And that is what we're here doing today. There's a lot of random cameos. They have a lot of fun stories behind them. And we have everything today from actual royalty to the Royal Rumble. While researching this episode, it became apparent how far-reaching Star Trek really is, how much of a base it covers, how people from all walks of life, all industries, all professions love Trek. I love that about our fandom. I think that's a cool aspect of our fandom. We're not pigeonholed into a particular people. We're open to everybody, which is the whole point of Star Trek anyway. We're going to take this episode to celebrate that. We're going to poke fun at a lot of more of the more ridiculous moments of the show. Plus we have, I'm not exaggerating when I say this. Luna, look at my face. Am I exaggerating? Luna, the intern, everybody behind the glass, helping me out. I don't think I've ever heard of a more cringy story than the one we're going to talk about today. When I heard this, I was like, that might be the cat's meow. That might be up there. Stick around for that. It's going to be great. As always, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Helps us out so much. Keep the lights on here. Get people going. Also, want to say thank you for 75,000 followers on Instagram that happened today. Thank you for your love and support on the gram. Either way, without further ado, Luna, let's roll that beautiful bean footage. I know there's always a fun game people say, oh, if I was a millionaire, I would own a Cybertruck. Or if I was a billionaire or a king, possibly go into space. There's a lot of things we would want to do. Some people in royalty may just not try to be a butthole to other people. That I think that's a very good goal. And speaking of royalty, we're going to talk about one of our first surprising cameos on Star Trek, and that is King Abdullah II cameoing on Voyager. Yes, that is a real sentence. King Abdullah II cameoed on the Voyager episode Investigations. Now, it's actually a long story of how he actually got to be on Voyager. It was arranged as kind of like a surprise for him. He had a U.S. advisor with him at the time visiting the States. It was kept hush from him, and apparently, the prince at the time was 34 years old, was very much a Trekkie, lifelong Trekkie, and saying in passing, hey, if I could even just see the set, if I could just kind of walk around the set of Voyager, that would be too much. And so they were like, okay, pal, we'll just walk you around the set. But before we do, let's just put you in a makeup chair and give you a little uniform, maybe a lieutenant in the science division, and we'll just see what happens. All of a sudden, he's rehearsing and he's shooting his shot, as they famously say. So he appeared in the background, the very opening scene, as a science officer who speaks with Harry Kim as the scene fades in. He wasn't a member of the Screen Actors Guild, so he couldn't actually have any lines, which I didn't know that was a thing. Like, you have to be a SAG member to be able to talk on episodes. So he couldn't talk, but he was still a cameo, which is very cool. And after he filmed his cameo, he was meeting the crew and he had kind of a crowd by him, like a well-wishers. And one of those was the famous doctor, Robert Picardo. And he actually secretly presented the king with an autographed picture of himself in the role of the doctor. After that, Dula gave a party for the Voyager cast. So pretty cool. Seems like a cool guy. He wanted to hang out with the cast, threw him a party. I mean, he's a king. Why not? Also during the party, he invited Robert Picardo and Ethan Phillips, the actor who plays Neelix, to his own country of Jordan. An offer that Ethan Phillips actually took up. And during the hiatus between season 2 and season 3, he went out to Jordan to hang with the king. And eventually, Picardo took up the offer as well. King Abdullah was a very gracious host and actually arranged tours of the Jordan's historical monuments and kind of even had a mini convention for the Jordan fans, which is awesome. This is more the recent news, so just how big of a fan this King Abdullah was. He was actually going to put up $1.5 billion, that is billion with a B, for a Star Trek theme park, beckoning Trekkies to a place that probably not a lot of Trekkies have gone before, and he was going to put the town and the little park on the Red Sea. However, due to a lot of international conflicts, international tensions, a lot of complex stuff that this simple accountant does not understand and won't comment on, he didn't do that. So I guess he didn't build a Star Trek park for $1.5 billion. And I just want everyone to remember that my doctorate is in dilithium and not international politics. So just keep that in mind. I think that was pretty crazy of an intro, and you may not even know it. He's just kind of like special guest star, King Abdullah II, and you see him for like 2 seconds, that's it. But it's still pretty neat. Speaking of royalty, we're going to a different kind of royalty now, and that is one of rock royalty. We're talking about the magnificent Iggy Pop on Deep Space Nine episode, The Magnificent Ferengi. In the words of the great Shooter McGavin, what is this, a damn rock concert? Go back to your shanties. I just wanted to say it because it's Happy Gilmore. Luna, the intern, is, I guess your intern producer, whatever, is mocking me. Anyway, that is rock royalty, and he played a clone Vorta in this episode, and you probably actually didn't recognize him with his shirt on. So if you don't know who Iggy Pop is, that joke did not land. He is actually the vocalist and lyricist for a band, or a punk band, called the Stooges. They were formed in 1967. He is considered the quote-unquote godfather of punk and was voted one of the 50 great voices by NPR. Actually inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which apparently everybody's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame even now, like Eminem. I'm like, you know, is that, what's rock and roll, man? Rock and or roll. It's another Simpsons reference. Anyway, he's legit. The Stooges is a great band. He is a rock punk royalty. I remember the first time I was actually watching this episode, I was like, wait, that Vorta looks a heck of a lot like Iggy Pop. And it turns out it's true. How they got him on was really wild, how they actually got him on the show. Deep Space Nine writers actually wanted Iggy Pop to play the role of Grady in the third season episode Past Tense Part 2. But he was actually unavailable to the music tour he was going on in Spain, so it just didn't happen for that episode. However, era Stephen Burr, the famous Stephen Burr, is a very big Stooges fan, big Iggy Pop fan, and he just kept pushing for his casting. 3 years later, after the initial turndown, Iggy Pop was injured in a mosh pit during one of his concerts, and so he was available to shoot the episode because he was in recovery. And I think that is probably the most BA person, I guess I could say, it's the most badass person on Trek so far. I just think that's awesome, is that he was injured in a mosh pit, so then it freed him up to do a cameo on Trek. And I, for one, wish I can be that cool when I grow up. That's the cat's, I'm not saying cat's meow again, Luna. Who wrote this? If you've never watched Deep Space Nine before, it is a very intense show the last couple seasons. The Dominion War is happening. It's exceptionally dark. It's exceptionally intense. And we have casualties, the themes of war. It's great. However, the Magnificent Ferengi is kind of like this lighthearted beacon of comedy in the middle of this omnipresent dread of the last couple seasons. I personally would love if Iggy Pop would have come back in some way, shape, or form as a Vorta, because his comedy was like top notch. The dry wit, and a lot of times celebrity cameos land flat. They're kind of just there to be there. But I really enjoyed Iggy Pop's. I think he's the exception to the rule there. Moving on to our third surprise cameo, we have actual royalty, we have rock royalty, and then now we're going to the Royal Rumble. And I mentioned at the top of this episode, we're going to talk about The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He does appear in the Voyager episode, Tunscada. Now, what is up with Voyager getting all these cameos? I don't know. But this is actually one of the most cringy stories I will tell. I talked about it at the top of the episode. But it's really wild why this cameo came through and how it was decided. And it wasn't because Dwayne The Rock Johnson is a big fan like Iggy and King Abdullah. This is more about business than anything else. And before the big franchises like Fast and Furious and Jumanji, our Little Rock, I guess he was a pebble then, he had a humble start, humble beginnings, and that was by beating up women in space. He was branching out into acting late 90s. He was in an episode of That 70s Show, and then quickly in followed that appearance in this episode in Voyager in 2000. Johnson guest starred playing an unnamed alien from a race called the Pendari. And Johnson's character faced off against Seven of Nine after she was captured while on an away mission and forced to fight in these broadcast matches of alien martial arts with sensors on their body, and it was usually to the death. The scene where Johnson appears is at the beginning of the episode, surprisingly, and was brief with this Pindari champion cleaning the floor with Seven because Seven didn't want to fight. She's being reluctant, etc. I think the people that did this were very smart, because at the beginning of 2000, this would have been immensely enjoyable for both Star Trek and WWF fans at the time. That is exactly why he was on the show. So in 2000, Voyager was airing on the United Paramount Network, or as we like to call, UPN. And it was the flagship show on UPN since the series premiered in 1995. The year before, in 1999, WWF's newest show, SmackDown, also joined UPN, airing on Thursday nights. Johnson's appearance on Voyager was cross-promotional for both shows. It was very easy because both of those shows were on the same network. Indeed, getting someone as famous as The Rock earned Voyager its highest Nielsen rating for the whole season, clocking in at 4.1 million homes. if you watch it, you'll seem like this is kind of awkward. This is very cringy, this whole fight sequence. And the reason the whole fight sequence was the way is because it includes a lot of Easter eggs and nods to Johnson's career in the WWE. When the Pindari first enters the ring, he does like the famous rock eyebrow and everyone goes crazy for it. He also like does something called the rock bottom, which is a finishing move he does on Jerry Ryan. If you're a fan of pro wrestling, you would have been like, I know exactly what that is. It would just been more enjoyable for you, I guess. There's a lot I could say, and I'm cutting a lot of jokes, especially the rock bottom bit, the SpongeBob reference. No one's going to get that except 90s kids. But I want to talk about the most cringy story I've ever heard so far in my 4 years of doing podcasting. This took some research to find. Hilariously, Jerry Ryan was in an interview, and she recalled that she was completely unaware of who The Rock was. She had no idea who he was. She was just, okay, he's athlete, something, no big deal. When they finished filming his scenes for this crossover episode, he actually left her a signed picture of himself in character as The Rock. So he has these Speedo things on, leather boots, he's super tan, and he leaves it in her trailer. So, direct quote, "When I got to my trailer, he left a signed picture in character as The Rock, and it says, 'The Rock smells what you're cooking.'" Jerry Ryan continues, "What is the weirdest thing I'd ever seen anybody write?" She took it to the crew, and the crew like laughed about it because she's like, "You don't know who this dude is, do you? You just think he's playing dress up. That's The Rock." And they kind of had explained pro wrestling to her and kind of this whole thing. So that to me is definitely cringeworthy. Again, one of the most cringy stories I've ever heard in my 4 years of doing podcasting, so please enjoy that. We don't have a pun for Royal. We're kind of running out, and we only have two remaining fun cameos here, and this one might come as a surprise, because unless you've seen Enterprise, you might not know it. That is, Seth MacFarlane cameoed and actually spoke in two episodes on Enterprise. Yes, that's Seth MacFarlane, the famous guy who did Family Guy and then a bunch of other shows and movies. He made his Star Trek appearance, and it was probably one of his highest accolades and achievements, as he has said multiple times in interviews. And his appearances were very brief, but notable. They occurred during the show's fourth season, and that's the last season. The two episodes are called The Forgotten and Affliction. He played Ensign Rivers, who is an engineer on the NX-01 Enterprise. And his role was very minor, but it showcased his actual acting ability beyond his usual comedic voice work, and kind of involved more of a serious backdrop in Star Trek's narrative. In The Forgotten, MacFarlane's character is actually seen interacting with the main cast in the engineering section, contributing to repair efforts, etc. And this particular episode is very intense because they're dealing with this huge fallout and this huge issue in the previous mission. I'm not going to give any spoilers, but it involves Ensign Rivers. We actually see him argue with Trip at one point. It's actually really funny. I feel like that's the dream cameo there. That is the dream, because you get in two episodes, you get a speaking part, and then you get to argue with the chief engineer. That's pretty legit. Tip of the cap. I mean, he made his dreams come true, and I'm immensely jealous. And you go, wait, Jonathan, what more could there be with this MacFarlane thing? He's a big Trek fan. We've seen that in Family Guy and his movies, whatever. But there's actually more to it. So, again, because of the impeccable team and our research ability here at OPP, we actually found out that there might be a Family Guy Easter egg in Star Trek now. There is a Star Trek customizable card game. And then there was an expansion pack called What You Leave Behind. And in that expansion pack, there's a card of Seth Enterprise character Rivers. And so he's given the full names of Stuart Rivers, Patriotic Engineer. Now, it has been referenced that this is Stuart referencing character Stewie Griffin. It's not confirmed, but it probably is a tip of the cap by some cheeky writer somewhere that now there is a Family Guy reference in Star Trek canon. So who knows? And I mean, this dude loves Star Trek so much, actually began his career with a homemade episode of Star Trek where he played Captain Kirk. And then he wanted to be in Star Trek so much that he went out and made his own show called The Orville, which is great. I love The Orville. If you haven't watched it, please do. I think it's on Hulu now or Disney Plus. So please check that out if you're kind of looking for something other than the Discovery and you don't really have any new Trek. But his love for Trek runs very deep and it's definitely evident. Moving on to our last surprising cameo. And I feel like people are going to be very surprised by this last one. If you didn't grow up in the 80s or 90s following the NBA, you might not know who our next person is. And you'd be like, well, why the F did you include him on the list? And before I get into that, let me just explain about who this man is. And this is James Worthy. And he cameoed on The Next Generation. James Worthy played basketball at North Carolina, claim to fame with Michael Jordan, won a national championship with Jordan. And then he was selected first in the 1982 NBA draft. He won three championships. He retired, named one of the 50 greatest players in the NBA, and then even was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame in 2003. He appeared, like I mentioned, in TNG as Corral in the 7th season episode Gambit Part 2. And the dude was 6'9", so he's the largest Klingon ever on screen. A little recap of the episode. He is this Klingon mercenary who's in possession of a fragment, a very powerful Vulcan weapon, which Picard and Riker are trying to prevent falling in the wrong hands. It was a very imposing performance by Worthy. Most notably when he says no to Data's line of questioning and then pouring Klingon blood on the floor in responses to the Enterprise hospitality. Why I wanted to include him on this list is how he got on the show. It wasn't because he's like one of the top 50 players of all time, whatever. Worthy actually met Robert O'Reilly on a plane. And O'Reilly was one of TNG's producers. He was a high-up guy. And he met him on a plane, and he actually persisted and eventually persuaded O'Reilly to talk to the other producers to get him to appear on TNG. So Worthy is a literal superfan. This 6'9", NBA great, was just annoying somebody to get on the show. And I can't blame him, because I would do the exact same thing. That's kind of why I wanted to include him. I know at the beginning of the episode I talked about how we have a great umbrella of Star Trek fans. And I think this is a good time to kind of go through this. Because in Star Trek right now, we're all very divided because Discovery is a divided show. Some people like it, some people don't like it, whatever. And it can get very toxic. When I was researching this episode, it really became apparent how much our umbrella expands. We have literal royalty. We have the godfather of punk. We have The Rock, who's this mega superstar. Now, granted, he's not on the show because he loves it. He was more promotional, but he still appeared. And then next, we have Seth MacFarlane, who's put out so much comedy in the years and wouldn't really think as a serious guy. Trek is very serious. Not a lot of comedy in Trek. There's some, but not a lot. Next, we have this NBA great, top 50 player of all time. Our fandom reaches far and wide, and this is a nice little reminder that we have more in common than we do differences. That's been my little PSA for the episode. And as we wrap up today's episode, I believe we're going to do a part two There's several more cameos we could talk to and get into. Definitely look out for the next, we'll do another five, next top five random celebrity cameos in Star Trek. And I can't wait to get into it because I have the list in front of me and it is absolutely wild. Thank you all so much for listening. And Luna, let's wrap it up. Fret not, my beautiful audience. I have not forgotten our Prodigy Season 2 review. I am going through it. It's just 10 episodes, and it's a lot. It's going to be a non-spoiler review. I just want to let a reminder on that. It is in the works. And please remember to hit up our good friend of the podcast blog, www.jasontalksmovies.wordpress.com. The link is in the episode description. He has great stuff. Probably the funniest man I know. Please go check him out. And then also remember, mental health is important. Take care of yourselves out there. If you need help, reach out. We're all there for you. And this world would be not as bright without each and every one of you listening here. And as always, second star to the right, straight on till morning.